Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 4. And we'll begin reading at verse 23. Let's stand together. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. And we'll read then the two first verses of chapter 5. Title of our lesson today, And Taught Them. Can you imagine what it must have been like to listen to Jesus Christ talk? I guarantee you, you'd want to listen. In verse 23 of chapter 4, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Dear Heavenly Father, what a blessing that must have been to have sat at the feet of Jesus. And Lord, may we take these words that have been recorded for our benefit, and may we take them to heart. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We will continue reading here in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 3 now. Matthew 5, 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Warren Wiersbe writes, The Sermon on the Mount is one of the most misunderstood messages that Jesus ever gave, unquote. A study of the message gives way to many different interpretations. Let me list four of them. One group says it is God's plan of salvation, that if we ever hope to go to heaven, we must obey these rules. I certainly hope not. Another group says it is a charter for world peace and begs the nations of the earth to accept it. Well, definitely there would be peace if we would accept this. Still, a third group tells us that the Sermon on the Mount does not apply to today, but it will apply at some future time, perhaps during the tribulation period or the millennial kingdom. But probably the answer to the sermon is found in verse 20, where it says, For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. May I say this, righteousness begins in the heart. Thus, whatever application the Sermon on the Mount may have to the world problems or future events, it is certain that this sermon has definite applications for today. It is said what was taught in the Sermon on the Mount is repeated in the New Testament epistles for the church today. You know, it's good that a church proclaims the need of salvation, that men are sinners and in need of a Savior. But it's also necessary that the epistles are taught and that we know how to live our Christian lives. The introduction. Four key words help understand the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this is according to Paul Madonna. Now, I'm sure if you were to look at different books, you'd probably come up with some other thoughts, but I believe four words can be found that to help in the understanding of the Sermon on the Mount. The first word is relationship. The second word is attitude. The third word is character. And the fourth word is righteousness. So number one, relationship. I kind of took these thoughts from a sermon that I preached a number of years ago. Number one, our relationship with one another. Do you think we should have a good relationship one with another? Well, the answer obviously is yes. We are told to love one another. Now, is this easy? Come on. It's not easy, is it? I mean, as nice a person as I am, is it easy to love me? Quit laughing. The fact of the matter is, how is our relationship one with another? Isn't that what the problem in the world is today, is we can't get along? We can't get along. And so how is our relationship? Well, if we would read this chapter and chapter 5 and the Beatitudes and we had the beliefs of this and followed these beliefs, we'd have a better relationship one with another. The second one is our relationship with material things. Now, we live in America. Some would call us one of the richest nations in the world of all time. On Valentine's Day, I decided that I had enough vacation time accrued that I would take a day. And so my wife and I headed off and went to Knight's Bridge Antiques. Anybody ever been to Knight's Bridge Antiques? Anybody? 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 I see one there in the back. May I say this? There are a lot of things there that were nice. As I'm leaving, Donna asked me if there was anything I wanted. Well, she really wasn't serious. And I asked her, was there anything that she wanted? And she goes, nothing that I can't live without. That made some of the vendors very unhappy. But the fact of the matter is there are a lot of things over here at Lakeside Mall that we really don't need. Would you agree? Hello? Yeah. Just simply the way it is. I have changed my office around. And I do it occasionally. Maybe you'd like to change furniture. When I was younger, we changed our furniture all the time. And we don't do that so much anymore because Donna can't move the furniture anymore. But the fact of the matter is I have begun to downsize. And I got rid of a lot of things. Some to recycle, some to Pastor Stephen's office, and others different places. But the fact of the matter is, I could go in there, rearrange my furniture again this week, and I could get rid of more stuff. Would you agree that we have a lot of things? Well, we do. But how is your relationship with the material things in your life? How is that? You know, the fact of the matter is it all depends on our attitude, right? Which we'll get to attitude in just a moment. But number three, what is our relationship with our Creator God? I ask that question sometimes of people. I will ask, how is your relationship with the Lord? Are you on good terms with the Lord? Are you on good terms with the Lord? Hello? Are you? Are you on good terms? Do you love him? You know, we expect him to love us, don't we? Hello? Yes, we do. Do you love him? Do you love him? When was the last time you said to the Lord, I love you? Do you do it? Are you afraid to do it? Do you think it sounds silly? You know, on Valentine's Day, I gave Donna a card. She gave me a card. Why? Because we love each other, right? 45 plus years we've been together. Can you imagine that? I mean, she only looks 32. Okay, 33. But do we love one another? Do we love our possessions? But do we love our Lord more? Do we? So how is our relationship? Do we have a right relationship with things, with people, and with our Lord? So that's the first thought. But then we come to attitudes. Let's read verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our attitude toward ourselves. How is our attitude towards ourselves? To be poor in spirit means to be humble, which I know goes against the grain of today's society. We don't want to be humble. We want to be in your face. We want to be the one that is recognized. But to have a correct estimate of ourselves is important. Romans 12:3 says, to every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have a backbone or that we're weak. But it means that we are honest with ourselves and that we need to give God and our Lord the honor and glory due his name. Church is not about us, it's about the Lord. We come to worship him. And when we worship him, we are blessed. But if we come with the desire that it's all about us, well, then we're missing the boat. It's about him. Under attitude, what is our attitude about sin? Let's read verses 4 and 5. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We are to mourn over sin and despise it. What does sin do? What does it do? It creates a division, doesn't it? It creates a division between us and God. Our sin creates a division. It's like a wedge. When you take a sledgehammer and a wedge and you pound it into a piece of wood and you drive that wedge in, the wood will break. It will split apart. And that's what sin does. It acts like a wedge, not only between us and God, but how about sin between me and my wife? Does it create a wedge between us? Hello? Yes. It creates a wedge between you and other people. That's what sin does, and we are to mourn sin. Mourn sin. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Confesseth. A lot of us are willing to confess I'm a sinner, but then it says forsaketh, or leaves it behind, and that's a far greater issue. The thought of meekness in verse 5 does not mean weakness, but it means to give our power over to the Lord. Paul, upon accepting Christ as his Savior, asked the Lord what he would have him do. So I'm going to ask you a second question. First was, have you told the Lord you loved him? Number two, have you asked him what his will should be for your life? Have you asked him? I don't care what age you are. Now, we can think, well, Anna should do it because she's what, 15? Are you 15? 14? 14? Okay. You look 15. Whew. I mean, we'd say, well, she's 14 years old. She ought to ask. Well, what about you? Should you ask? We should ask. Lord, what would you have me do? What is your will for my life? So those that are meek will ask. Our third one is our attitude toward the Lord, verses 6 through 9. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Our attitude toward the Lord, verse 6 says, we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. So do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Now, I told you about the fact that the seniors and retirees are going over to Golden Corral. Well, I'm already thinking about going there on March the 7th. Now, I don't want to wish away my life, but I'm looking forward to the pot roast and the sliders and the chocolate pie. Yes. Well, there is a desire for that. You go and buy a tie. Now, I don't usually brag on my ties. Can I brag on this tie? Okay. Donald Trump signature collection. Yeah. That puts me in high style, right? Donald Trump may have worn this tie. But the fact of the matter is, you go to Lord & Taylor and you want a tie. I mean, would you buy every tie over here at Lord & Taylor? You know, the fact of the matter is, there's only a handful that I would buy. The handful. So, we hunger and thirst, though, after certain things. What do you hunger and thirst after? Are you hungry for the Word of God? Now, don't answer that, because tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be teaching from the Word of God. We're to hunger and thirst. There should be a desire to hear it and to learn of it and to have it as part of our lives. I told you that my stomach has already begun to growl. The fact of the matter is, I'm looking forward to the deviled eggs that Donna has prepared. We hunger and we thirst after certain things, but do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Are we merciful? Do we show mercy? And I'm not talking, do you show mercy to your husband or your wife or your children? I mean, do you show mercy to the fact that people who are going to die without Jesus Christ are going to go to hell? Do you agree with that? That if people do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will spend eternity in hell. And to show them mercy is to share the gospel with them. So do you show mercy? Do you give them hope that there is a better way? Verse 8 says that of a pure heart. Wow. That's hard. Do you have a pure heart? That's something that we have to constantly deal with, because our heart is often controlled by our thoughts, our thought life. And so we must have our thought life under control. And I'm going to tell you this, that is not easy. We must have a proper thought life. And do we desire peace? There in verse 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. We know that our Lord was merciful. He had a pure heart, that he desired peace, and that he desired righteousness. If we are going to have a right attitude with the Lord, we must be willing to follow His example. And then we come to our attitude towards our Christian testimony. Do you think we should have a positive Christian testimony? Do you? Yes. Beginning at verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In other words, Blessed are you for living a righteous life. Can I ask you a third question? Would you be found guilty of being a Christian? If someone brought charges against you and said they're a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prove it? That's scary, isn't it? But would there be enough evidence that people would say, oh yes, they are definitely a Christian? It says rejoice. Verse 12, rejoice. Rejoice when you were reviled against, chided for your stand, condemned for your beliefs, scolded for voicing your opinions. Ryan Scott Baumberger writes in Not Equal, Civil Rights Gone Wrong, writes, our culture has an aversion or dislike to truth. That aversion or dislike has infected every facet of life and institution, including our churches. He continues, I think the biggest problem is that Christians constantly confuse what compassion is. They feel capitulation as compassion. Unquote. Well, I agree with the fact that our society doesn't want to be told the truth. We have lied about our nation's history. We have lied about our founding fathers. We've had presidents even talk about certain people who were on the founding fathers that were not there. So we have changed history because we don't want to believe the truth, even though the truth will make you free. Warren Wiersbe writes, as we read the Beatitudes, we find that they represent an outlook radically different from that of the world. The world is at war with God, while God is seeking to reconcile his enemies and make them his children. So how's our attitudes? The third word was character. And your character is your integrity or your lack of integrity, your honesty or your dishonesty. In today's bulletin, we have a thought from Abraham Lincoln. Character is like a tree and reputation like a shadow. The shadow is what we think of it. The tree is the real thing. Joyce Kilmer wrote, poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. And Joyce Kilmer was right. How many of you know that Joyce Kilmer was a man? Just so you know, he was a man. Which leads us to the last thought of righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And our righteousness shall be greater than those of the scribes and Pharisees or the religious group, the self-righteous. There's the internal versus the external. Righteousness means to be upright, honorable, and God-honoring. The Pharisees taught that righteousness was an external thing, obeying rules and regulations, that it could be measured by praying and giving and fasting, etc., while God taught that righteousness flowed from within. Within, having the right attitude, the right character. Blessed implies an inner satisfaction that the Lord gives to them whose lives praise God and not self. Which brings us to the conclusion. One can only live a righteous life with the help and strength of Almighty God. You cannot do it in your own strength. I don't care how strong you think you are. If you're going to live a righteous life, you can only do it with the help of the Lord. For Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you would, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll be closing with the thoughts from Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He has made alive those who were dead. Verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the minds, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's how we are. But notice verse 4, but God. You should underline that, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Aren't you glad he loved you? Aren't you glad he provided a way of salvation? He has showed you there is a need, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But God, in his rich mercy. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Shall we stand together? How is your relationship with the Lord? Are you on good speaking terms? Have you drifted? Do you need to come to him today even and say, Lord, forgive me? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? We'd be glad to show you from the Word of God what needs to be done to know Christ as your Savior. Are you in a right relationship with him? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, now that your hand would be upon it. May the Holy Spirit move and convict and touch hearts. Lord, we pray that you would quiet the evil one. We ask, Lord, that your will would be done, and we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.